Good morning, Atlanta. This is Mike Leving filling in for Amy Otto and have our producer with us.
Yes, I am here too, Mike, helping you get through this. You look a little nervous. You're making me a little nervous.
Don't worry. We'll make it through here. We've got some exciting guests here today to talk about what's going on in the small business community in Atlanta, and want to kick off the show by introducing a fairly new business with two very good people, Suzanne Chase and Olivia Millwood with Go to Girls.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Glad that you can make it. I want to start off by sharing with the audience exactly what Go to Girls is. And if Suzanne, if you want to go ahead and kick us off with explaining a little bit about the company, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Go to Girls is actually a business to get you started with social media and social media marketing for your business. We get everything ready for a launch and graphics and just the whole package. We're just the whole package.
You know, I've heard so much about social media. I think there's a lot that is misunderstood about social media and how it can really help small businesses. Can you share a little bit about what exactly is social media?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about that. The phrase social media has been tossed around quite a bit. It can be hard to pinpoint, but let's just say that it's any web-based forum, site, game, app, blog that connects people to people, business to consumer, consumer to business, and business to business.
So how'd you guys get into it?
That's kind of funny. I was a graphic artist for many years. I freelanced for a very long time in corporate television and then got into web design. And started exploring Twitter and Facebook for promoting my own business, and saw that there's a lot of unpretty Twitter and unpretty Facebook out there, and thought, wow, what a good way to package all this, and met Olivia actually at one of our son's baseball games and found out that she was really into getting started on social media.
I was working, I worked for an interior design business called Niche by Design also. And I had started tweeting for Niche just to get us some notice, to get us out there as a new business in the Roswell area. And through that, decided to have an event in Roswell, started talking to Suzanne at the baseball game about the event, and we realized we had a lot of things in common, that we were kind of going in the same direction, and that we had something to offer people. We could help people start out on a better foot in the whole social media industry.
What do you see as a common misconception that people have out there?
That Facebook is just to touch base with old friends from high school. It's a lot more than just...
Yeah, it's more than just that Facebook stalking that you hear about, and you hear about people seeking out their ex-boyfriend from high school or their ex-girlfriend. It's a lot
more
than
that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not. It can be fun to do that, too, but Facebook and Twitter and all of the different apps that we can talk about today... have a purpose for business. They're out there to help you promote your business, and we want to help people do that.
So what? Let's take one at a time. Let's go Twitter. How would your business, what are you going to do on Twitter? Let's see. You guys have a business. You're probably on Twitter, I would guess.
Yes, we're on Twitter. GoToGirls just recently got on Twitter, and we are increasing our followers. We're tweeting.
So what's a tactic to increase your followers that you're using?
One of the main things is trying to engage.
Engage the community, the people out there in the Twittersphere?
Exactly. You want to connect. And because I myself already had a great following as Sway Girl, I've been able to increase our following rapidly because I've already figured out what I'm doing.
Right.
I started myself not knowing what I was doing, fumbling around for months. And then I figured out the method is there's a certain amount of tweets you need to do per day.
It's an exact number, like 11?
It's not exact, but we go for a goal of 10 per
10.
Day.
So 10 I was close.
You were very close.
Retweeting's important.
Retweeting? And what is retweeting?
That is when you find somebody who has relevant and pertinent information and you retweet.
So that means like in the community you're trying to build, you're trying to be a source of knowledge, information,
and connections.
Kind of a go-to girl for your community, right?
Correct. We want to help people find the appropriate resources in social media to help promote their business.
Right. So what's kind of an example of a client that you work with? What challenges do you face when you're approaching a client and they say, a tweet? What's a tweet? You know, how's
and
that going to really?
Why should I care?
Yeah. How's that going to help me?
Well, one example is if you get them on Facebook or Twitter, you reach out to the community, you can monitor what people are saying about you. You can monitor your competition.
Right.
You can make offers and reach out directly to your warm consumer. These are people who already have come on board and said that they like you. They want to know more about you, whether it's, you know, to share ideas or, you know, they're interested in your product. So we're actually going after people who are already interested in their product or have friends that are interested in
their
product.
Now, you mentioned that you shoot for, I guess it's between you, 10 tweets a day. Like, what's an example of your tweets? Are you like, hey, I'm at Starbucks, and boy, this line is taking forever. Is that a tweet? Is that a good use of Twitter?
For personal tweets, sure.
Right.
For myself personally, I tweet about anything and everything.
So just kind of a running commentary of your life.
It can be. At times, I say fun things. At times, I say, you know, yeah, like you said, I use Foursquare. So
right.
I'll say, I'm at Walmart. Is anybody here? You know, that wants to say hi.
And Foursquare, that's not Twitter. That's something else, right?
That's another geotagging type application that is involved in social media. But for business, I have my goal has been to keep it more for business has been to keep it more professional. So, for example, tweeting for go-to girls, I would want to keep it more along the lines of social media.
Right.
You know, when I tweet something, I want it to have to do with what's going on in
about
the social
your
media.
Brand, right?
About our brand, about us, about what we're doing.
Right.
We would tweet today. We've already tweeted about being on this radio show. We Facebooked about being on this radio show. We included the links to this radio show so that the people that are already following us can listen in and find out about the fun things that we're doing.
And you. Now you've got a whole new market, a whole new...
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And Twitter is all about the conversation. One of our... Several of the people that I've followed and that I've learned from, you know, they press that upon you. It's not just about... For example, I tweet for Chalmers Construction. And... you know, we're marketing on Twitter. We want people to know about Chalmers Construction. We want them to know about what they can do, how they can help you, you know, that they're out there in the community ready to fix your stuff for you. Well, we're learning that it's not just about marketing. We don't want to they say the best advice is that it's 10% of your tweets would be marketing and the rest is about engagement.
So you have to give to the community 90% of the time and 10% you can talk about something promotional.
It's constantly about giving and what you put out there positively and then receiving something back. And it's a process. It's all a process.
Right.
So do you really see the whole social media as really a means for small businesses to really compete against larger businesses at a fraction of a typical advertising budget or marketing budget?
We think social media should be a part of a marketing plan. It's like it's a new thing. And we think that people should not forget the old way, but there's people out there that they can meet. And a lot of it is follower and friends. You know, I could post about how I just had my house painted by a certain painter or construction by Chalmers Construction. And then people on Facebook, that name will be in their head. They'll see who I'm friends with, who I'm fan of. And it might put the right people in their head, and they might call them and get an estimate, and then it's their job to support it with other marketing materials. And
it's like word of mouth on the web, you know,
right?
That old word of mouth where my friend says that this company is golden. They will not rip me off. They will not, you know, they're not going to stab me in the back. They're not going to steal me blind. This company is good, so you should like them. You should be friends with them. You should check them out. Use their services because I trust them.
Right, but you can't do it in that kind of a salesy, pitchy way. It's got to be a natural conversation.
Exactly. And the people that I connect with online and on Twitter, you know, in the interior design field, I have quite a few friends. I'd like to call them friends, Twitter friends, that I communicate with, and they share information with me. They share ideas with me. You know, they don't see me as competition. It's more of a community. It's not about the competition on right. Twitter. It's about the community and helping each other learn how to promote our businesses, learn how to, you know, anything in the design field that I want to ask them a question about, those people are willing to answer right away. So
So you like it?
I love it. I'm kind of
obsessed
with it.
More than interior design?
No, I like both. I'm not quitting either, you know.
So, and then with your, are you still doing graphic design? Does that work into this as well?
It works beautifully because.
How does graphic design work? Because this seems like very text and typing.
Well,
oriented.
I do the pretty backgrounds and the avatars, and then from that, people need a logo to put on the pretty background,
right.
and then from that, they need business cards, and then they need an
so
ad.
So graphics is very intertwined in this.
Yes, very much.
And blogging, we're even talking to people about, you know, setting up their blog, making their blog beautiful, making their blog prettier. So there's definitely that connection.
Cool. So do you think this is a fad, or you think this is going to stick around for a while?
It might evolve and continue to grow, mm-hmm. but it's definitely going to be here for a while.
We believe, from everything that we can see, it's here to stay.
So every business you think should be on all that, you listed like 50 different social media things. Like, should you be on all of them?
No. We can help you figure out which ones would be
okay,
more
so
ethical.
Okay, so some are right for certain industries, and
yes,
some are
yes. better. Foursquare is great for businesses.
Right.
For restaurants.
For your restaurant down the street, you know.
People compete to be the mayor of Publix.
Right.
I've seen it.
Yeah, so they keep going back and forth.
Yeah, I was just ousted of mayor of something, and I was like, I've got to go back right now, you know. And then there's LinkedIn that we consider a professional presence on the web.
Right.
Where you...
So there's a LinkedIn strategy?
There is a LinkedIn strategy, yes. And you know, you think about that's the place where you have your...
Your colleagues,
your coworkers... And I can't think of the word for it.
It's the professional
right.
representation.
Your resume is listed there. So you have, if you were presenting your resume to a company, you want to be professional. So that's the way we see LinkedIn. You know, you're going into that. And so you wouldn't necessarily go on LinkedIn and say, I went to the grocery store today and found 3 deals. That's
right.
not what you use LinkedIn for.
Right.
So, yeah, there are strategies and appropriate applications for each.
Cool. So now what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you if they want to learn more?
You could go to our website. Go to girls. It's GOTOGRLS.com.
Is that hip? That's why you went that way?
Yeah.
Is that hipper? No,
well,
no I?
Well,
because there's no I in team.
Well, and to be honest, Sway Girl doesn't have the I, and so we kind of use that because when I went for that, there was no I available to be Sway Girl, so we just transferred.
So you
made
lemonade out of lemons.
Exactly.
The less characters in Twitter, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Very good.
Yep.
Good stuff, Mike.
Outstanding. Well, thank you both for your time. I wanted to bring up our next guest, which is Pete from... Green Pest Control?
Greenhouse
Pest Control. Excuse me. And Pete, just to kind of kick it off, can you tell us a little bit about Greenhouse?
Oh, yeah. We are Atlanta's true natural pest control company. We focus on using botanic oils and citrus oils to protect people's home. We just use what nature uses to defend itself from pests.
Yeah, and how did you come up with this concept?
The concept came from I worked corporate America, and then it got bought out, then got laid off, and worked corporate America, got bought out, got laid off, and had a 7-month-old at the time, and was sitting at the house thinking what we were going to do for the rest of our life, protect our family, and had a traditional pest control company come out and spray our house for roaches, and one thing led to another. Had a little 7-month-old who's 5 now, sitting on the floor, started coughing, and that started growing really rapid to enough to where he was struggling on breathing, and we rushed him to the emergency room, and he was on breathing treatments for 6 hours. While I was there, I took my little BlackBerry and started doing some research on natural alternatives, and found that no one was out there to provide that service. And so we started developing the natural alternatives to pest control.
Mm-hmm. that's a outstanding niche that I know you see a lot of signs out there from some of these larger companies that claim to be green.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's frustrating because when I thought of the concept, you know, no one was doing it. And so I went into the pest control and started doing my internship, and then, you know, one company started promoting it and another company started promoting it. And I was like, great, they're doing this way before I'm even licensed. It's just going to be difficult to do it. And then I just started, you know, I started noticing, I was like, you know what, they have a synthetic division as far as pest control, and they have a natural division. And I said, you know, we're exclusively going to be natural. You know, that's our focus, is to provide safe alternatives for families and specialize in that one field. We didn't have to, you know, go beyond our natural pest control just to build a business. And so so we're proud to be exclusively all natural.
That's awesome. Now, when I look at, you know, I look around at small businesses, and you've been in business for a couple of years now?
Yeah, almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. And I know the toughest time is your first 5 years when you're in business. What are some of the challenges that you had, and especially with this niche that you're really established and actually are creating in Metro Atlanta?
Oh, some of my biggest struggles is a huge national bank that feels like they could put America in their title. Not small business friendly at all, but one thing was this: we figured out way, sitting there saying, okay, we're going to focus on young families. Young families is going to be our primary focus. We want to protect the children. Now, you know, we have a kid who's 5 and he's on breathing treatments every single night. And we have a 22-month-old who doesn't have any asthma issues. And so we were like, you know, we're going to reach out to the community, reach out to these mothers in these schools, and start focusing on promoting our business that way. I think, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of companies, stretch out way beyond where they need to focus, and we just kind of focused our one thing on, and that's young families.
Now, what was it like? You went from a corporate background to a kind of a entrepreneur, eat what you kill world. What has been the biggest transition for you personally?
Man, the biggest transition is getting up, rolling out of bed, walking to my office, and starting my day. There wasn't really a huge transition, besides getting out of traffic. The biggest transit is like when I started was, you know, just a one-man guy. So I was the technician, I was the secretary, I was the bookkeeper, I was the person who scheduled all my stuff, filed. I did it all. I mean, and so it was the biggest transition was time. I didn't have enough time to do any of that. So I had to, you know, schedule myself to, focus on my day to where I could still build my clientele up, but still take care of the small, tedious things to make the business run.
And I know you said you really like to concentrate on small, on families to help them out. Do you do anything in the commercial world as well?
Yeah. We do commercial. We take care of like a huge, corporate companies out there right now. A lot of people who are moving this whole entire green movement. And so, you know, one of the things is pest control, getting the chemicals out of the offices, allowing the workers to feel safe on, as they sit in their offices, being pest free. So yeah, we do a lot of big ones. Girl Scouts of America is one of our best clients right now. So
outstanding.
Yeah,
I know that Tag Along cookie is nice and safe when I go to eat it. Then I like to hear that
it's all natural. So
awesome. If there was a couple of things that you'd want people to remember about greenhouse pest control, what would you want them to think? What do you want to come top of mind for someone when they hear greenhouse pest control?
That we focus on the family. That's the big thing. All our referrals come from ladies who are at the bus stop dropping their kids off, small groups. So the biggest thing is, you know, that we, I mean, our focus is the safety of children. Whenever we deal with a new client, it's always the first question is it's their kids. If they don't have kids, the second is like their dog. They don't really care about themselves, but more about their pets. So, but yeah, that, you know, that that's what our primary focus is.
And as a small business owner, I know it's tough to get established and to get your name out there. You're getting a lot of referrals right now. Are there any type of groups that you join to help increase your business?
Yeah, you know, as far as the transition, moving into a new business, I kind of got lonely at home. Mm-hmm. And so I joined a B&I group down in Woodstock just to hang out with other business owners, because it kind of gets lonely when you're by yourself when you first start and you have zero. So I joined a group called All About Town in downtown Woodstock, and you know, and they helped me build my business.
Outstanding. Sharing business advice and basically a place where you can expand your circle of influence, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and just really good friends, you know, that we made out of it. You know, people who started their business right around the same time as well, and you know, the struggles and you know, the successes that we get to share. So it's really nice.
Are you using social media at all in your marketing?
I do use social media. I'm not that great. I do one maybe a week. I don't think I have enough time to do 49 others for the rest of the week. But yes, I do try. I do have a big whopping following of 289 fans.
Are you using Facebook? Are you using Twitter? What do you do?
Facebook, Twitter. I just link them together, so I only have to focus on one.
One.
Yeah.
But are you interacting with that community? Like, do they ask you questions, or is it more you're just kind of blasting out what you're doing?
Oh, no, no. I do it more for advice. You know, allow them to post their questions. I don't ever try to sell my product online. You know, I promote my blog that I do, and it's all about advice. It has nothing to do with, like, well, if you have an ant issue, you give us a call. I mean, it's, you know, I literally tell them how to do it safe and effectively for themselves.
Wow, that's great.
And I know that you're also using Facebook as well, because I've seen some pretty interesting pictures of some of your clients'
you
problems.
Show their pest.
Pests. I will take pictures and post them up, whether it's like rub marks from rats or one in a trap. And I started putting my business card in the background because people started stealing my image. So I started posting my using it as a mark. So if anybody comes around, they'll see that greenhouse was out there.
You were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So what's the website? What's the blog and all that?
The blog is in my website. You can always reach me at www.pestfreegogreen.com. That is my, and then, you know, my Facebook and my Twitter account, they're all linked to that as well. So if you want to see some pretty gory pictures, I guess you could follow if you wanted to.
So that's all one word, pestfreegogreen.com?
Yeah, pestfreegogreen.com, all one word.
Cool. Good stuff.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Pete. Enjoyed having you on. Is there anything else you'd like to add before?
No. I don't think I have anything else to add.
That's good stuff.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, sir.
Next up, I've got Jay from X8 Marketing. And Jay, I'm going to let you give a little introduction and include your last name because I didn't want to butcher it on the air.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Lee. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, actually, the last name is pronounced Choquette, so I'll
Choquette,
let you,
it's very exotic. You must be good. It's a exotic last name.
You know, we're not going to put any shows on here today, but you know, we'll do the best we can. But, yeah, no, we're I'm with X8 Marketing. We are a marketing firm. We're based out of the Woodstock and Roswell, Kennesaw area. And we focus on building custom marketing blueprints for small businesses. It includes a lot of things like what the GoTour Girl is saying. It's you know, it's very important for small businesses to get the leading edge. There's a lot of big competitors out there, and it's you know, a lot. It can be very daunting for a lot of these small businesses. They, you know, they look at you, they're like, man, you know, I got a pizza place that we're working with right now. And he keeps looking at me. He's like, man, he's like, Jay, how am I gonna deal with Little Caesars down the road here, man? He's like, they're killing me. And you know, the fact of the matter is you know, it's very, very possible for small businesses to compete on a larger scale. It's just that they've got to seize their competitive advantages. And the first step of that is understanding their consumers and understanding their competition. And they just need to realize is that there are big resources available to small businesses without the big business price.
You know, it's interesting because during a recession, a lot of businesses, the first thing they cut is their marketing dollars, and that's the worst thing you can do during a recession?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the first things that, you know, even big businesses, I mean, I see this, you know, you see it on Wall Street and everything every day. They're like, you know, IBM's cutting their marketing. Microsoft is cutting their marketing. You know, see all these huge firms cutting their marketing left and right. But the fact of the matter is that if you're in a tough economy and you have your competitors, if some of those guys are going out of business, well, then that's a prime opportunity for you, because even though you may not be making that excess fluff off of what you are used to on the business, the key thing here to remember is just because there's a little fat on the steak, well, trim it off. Don't throw out the whole steak, because if some of your competitors are going out of business, some of them are falling off the wagon, then that provides an opportunity for you to gain market share. And so, yeah, you may not be making a ton of money off those extra customers right now, but the fact of the matter is that if you're pulling in extra customers now, when you start getting that premium dollar as the economy or your particular market starts making a comeback, well, you've literally just, you know, quadrupled, or, you know, you've just massively increased your profit margins just because you are smart. Don't cut your marketing budget, but make sure you evaluate to ensure that it's effective and that you're getting the proper returns on the marketing that you are using.
Outstanding. And I know the concept of your business is kind of creating a blueprint for small businesses. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, what happens is a lot of small businesses, they don't have a lot of resources. Some of them don't have much of a marketing budget. Some of them have no marketing budget. And that doesn't mean that they can't compete. You know, I mean, every day, just like the Go-To Girls were saying earlier and Greenhouse is doing right now, it's so possible. I mean, by using the internet is one huge avenue, but there are so many simple things that small businesses can do that cost them next to nothing that increase their return on investment. I mean, it sounds so simple and crazy, but if a small business, take up even a pizza place, if they just list a clipboard at their front desk that allows customers to give them their emails to be able to interact with those customers more often, it costs them nothing. Okay, well, it costs them 2 cents for the piece of paper. But that's a way for them to constantly and more effectively remind their customers that they're there and help establish more customer clientele to send them, to send to other businesses and bring a higher return rate and greater customer retention and loyalty to their business. Costs them next to nothing, but completely effective.
Now, part of what you do is you help your clients with marketing research. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that and why that's important?
Well, the first thing a business needs to understand is that we all start a business for a reason, and that's to service customer needs. Well,
that's why they do it?
I mean, you know, granted, at the end of the day, we're all here to make money, but, you know, the best way to make money is by having happy customers, and the best way to have a happy customer is knowing your customer. You know, I mean, a lot of you guys here are married or fiancés, spouses. The best way to keep that that loved one or your other half happy is by knowing what they like. And customers are no different. It's a marital relationship. You got to understand what they like and what makes them tick. Once you understand that, then you can give them what they want.
So what are some ways that you can gather that information?
Well, you can do it through a multitude of avenues. The internet provides a lot of resources nowadays, but it's very possible and very cheap, actually, to go in and take a small marketing firm like X8 Marketing and go in and actually conduct consumer research on your current customers and potential customers in the area.
So how do you just call them up?
No. Well, I mean, one of the things we do is we'll actually go in. And if you have, say, if it's an internet-based company, we'll use internet-based surveys. Or we'll go in and we'll talk to the customers face-to-face. We'll talk to the customers and we'll talk to the managers. We'll talk to the competitors. And we survey them and we find out information directly for them. Hey, why do you like this pizza place? You know, you like their sauce? Do you like their service? Do you like the fact that they deliver 10 miles outside of the normal radius? We find out what it is they like. And then, of course, which is more important, in my personal opinion, to business owners, is what do they don't like? What are the customers that you don't have? What don't they like about your business? And what can you do to change that to make your product appeal to a wider customer demographic?
So what's something interesting you learned that maybe that your client didn't anticipate learning when you did that kind of research for them?
You know what? It's kind of hard to touch on that one without giving away some of their trade secrets. I will say that there have been several times where we actually had there was one particular client we did some research for, and they had great satisfaction rates. They had over 80-something percent satisfaction rate, but they actually had less than 30% of the customers said they wanted to come back. even though over 80-something percent of them were at a satisfaction rate. And this was at a local university. I won't say which one. But they had implemented a new dining hall. And even though the majority of the student population was very happy with the results and the services that they were receiving, because there was a lot of animosity from a lot of the students because they were being forced to pay for it. So they felt that even though they were happy with the services, there was still a lot of resentment. So it was things like that.
You can dig deeper.
Yeah.
Maybe not on the surface. It may seem one way, but by digging a little bit, you can get really the truth.
Yeah. It's very, very important. I mean, anybody in here, I can be pretty sure. I mean, Pete over here with Greenhouse, if he could understand why his customer didn't want to come back to him, I guarantee you that'd be very important to him to understand, okay, now what can I do to make this better for all my customers in the future?
Mm-hmm. So how does it work when somebody engages with you? How do they typically find you? Is it through the internet or?
A lot of ours, it comes through a mix. A lot of them come from referrals. A lot of them come through internet. A lot of them come from networking in general. And that's why it's really important. A lot of small businesses don't realize you need to keep a wide base out there. You never know where your next customer is going to come from. So you need to make sure that you engage all avenues of marketing, whether they cost money or not. You don't necessarily have to go out and spend $30,000 on a billboard. You know, it's very, very possible that just by going out and talking to local groups or business networking groups or, you know, or even just meeting guys like Mike over here, you know, you never know when somebody's going to give you a referral. Just go out there, put on a good face, and show them what you got. And if you're doing what you're doing, you're doing it right, then they're going to come to you.
So what made you decide to start a company like X8?
Well, we recognized a huge gap in the market. There's a lot of marketing and advertising firms out there that go straight for the big guys. The little guys get overlooked in the small business world a lot. And what a lot of people don't realize is the majority of the American economy is based on small business. And so we realized that there was a need in the market, and we decided to run with it. There was no other businesses that were, for the price that we were offering, that were making these kinds of resources available to small businesses, you know, and then making small businesses understand that they can afford to do this, because they don't have to have some huge marketing firm or massive marketing consultation bill at the end of the day. You know, it's very, very possible for small businesses to get a competitive edge and even sometimes actually use the big business image against their competitors.
Now, if you had a limited budget, what would be the one go-to thing that a company should use?
Well, besides sitting somebody on the sidewalk and telling them to start hollering and traffic, no, there's a lot of different ways. Social media is a good start, but at the same time, too, you got to be careful. Social media can be very effective, but at the same time, depending on your particular kind of business, you want to make sure that you don't tarnish your professional image. Just like they were saying earlier, you know, you got to make sure that you keep it professional. And yeah, social media is a good one, but like I said, it just really depends on the business. I've seen people, you know, using email lists or making sure that they put flyers in the right place get massive return results, more so than even social media. It's just about, you know, it just really just depends on the business.
So is that kind of what happens when a client starts with you? You kind of get the lay of the land, see what they're doing, what's out there in the marketplace, and then you design something that's specific to their business?
That's exactly what we do. Then the fact of the matter is that a lot of small business owners, that's what they are. They're a small business owner or a manager. They're like, hey, Jay, I know how to run my business. I know I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, Pete's like, I know pest control, man. I know what I'm doing. But sometimes those small business owners, they know how to run their company. But when it comes to looking at how to get more customers, that's a gray area. You know, they're taking shots in the dark. And, you know, one of the greatest things you need to learn is that when your pocket's full of lint, you got to learn how to be your own pimp.
Cool.
Good. And how do people find out more about X8?
Well, they're more than welcome to check us out on Facebook or Twitter, any one of those, or our website. They're all X8 Marketing. So just check out www.x8marketing.com. And just shoot us an email or a phone call or something. We'll be more than happy to help you guys.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
And bringing up the rear for us, I've got...
The headliner, you mean.
The headliner is a good friend and a colleague that I've known for many years in corporate America. And he went out and started his own business about a decade ago. And, you know, probably most of us in corporate America are like, man, he's crazy. What's he thinking? Well, he was thinking right, because I'm proud to introduce Mark Wilson with Ryla, and I'm going to allow him to share a little bit about what Ryla does and some of their successes over the last decade.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. I'm really excited to be here. Well, Ryla got started. It's about 9 years now, and we provide outsourced call center services, primarily customer service, inbound calls for our clients, you know, to address the concerns that each of those clients may have. And, you know, we started our company on a simple premise of trying to create an environment where the folks that worked for us could have it be the best job that they've ever had, and to leverage that into great customer service for our clients. And over the years, it's just proved to be a good model that we've leveraged to the success that we've had. I mean, we've been in a really fast pace in terms of growth over the last couple of years. But the 9 years we've been in business have been really, really successful for all the folks that work in our company. And, you know, so it's been pretty good.
And it's outsourcing mainly here in the U.S. and a little bit international capabilities?
Well, our focus has been primarily the domestic market. We've just felt like there's enough business and enough need as far as customer service is concerned in the domestic market. And we've not really had any sort of focus at all outside the U.S. And that also has been a good strategic decision for us, as, you know, a lot of the concerns around outsourcing around the world has created an opportunity where work is coming back into the U.S. and, you know, and those companies that have primarily focused that way are getting the benefit of it. And that would apply to us at Ryla.
So, I mean, you started off as a small business, Mark, and you've grown pretty rapidly over the last 9 years. What are some of the challenges that you had maintaining that culture while growing at such an accelerated rate?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really the heart of it, Mike. You know, we have grown, and we started in my basement with just me and an idea to now more than 3,000 folks that work in our company in 5 cities and, you know, more than $100 million in revenue. And we think that's all about the fact that we've been able to distinguish ourselves from our competition around culture, you know. And so when you go from literally no employees to more than 3,000, you do introduce the human element and all that comes with that. And, you know, with that being our, you know, our separator, we've had to stay really focused on keeping the same culture in place. And so far it's worked out. It's harder. It gets harder and harder as we get bigger and bigger, but we've just tried to find creative ways to, you know, to maintain the thing that's made us successful, and that's you know, an intense focus on our people.
Now, I just finished reading Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness. That it's about Zappos,
yes.
And he talks a lot about the culture and creating that culture. Can you kind of walk somebody through what it's like to create a culture? Because culture seems like kind of an organic thing. That's not something that you're like, mm-hmm. Let's create a culture. Let's, you know, you do these 5 things and then you have a you know, a winning corporate culture. So when you were in your basement, your corporate culture was you, yeah. And your dream. So when you started hiring people, how did you kind of make that a reality?
Well, it's an interesting and key point that you make. It's not. I guess it has some strategic elements to it, but it has to be, you know, born out of conviction and a real mission. And, you know, we really do as a company want to have our folks feel like it's the best job that they've ever had. And so, you know, with that being the focus, it's just generated all the ideas, all of the policies, practices that we have as a business that put us in a position to deliver on that promise to our people that, you know, in fact, it's a good job and the best one that they've ever had. So, you know, it's not a program of the day, flavor of the month approach. It's really systemic. So every decision that we make, whether it be onboarding a new client to, you know, making a decision about an internal policy, is done with, will this keep our culture toward the best job that you've ever had intact?
So, but how do you go about hiring and finding, you know, at first I'm sure it was easier when it was people you knew and you had relationships with, but when you scale to the size that you are now, it's a different animal. So how do you make sure that that new guy that really hasn't been brought up through all the, you know, hasn't experienced the 9 previous years, that they can onboard and get with the right frame of mind right off the bat?
Yeah, it's a great question. And We've done some basic things. So in our company, there's four basic principles that we have that, you know, it's important for everybody to demonstrate. And we, you know, we have daily meetings that reinforce these. But it's, you know, we want you to come to work every day energized. We want you to come to work every day on time. That's a discipline that might seem small, but it does mean a lot. The third is that we want you to do the job that as the responsibilities are attached to it. And, you know, and that means, you know, whatever it is that you are responsible for, we need you to do that job to the best that you possibly can. And then the fourth thing, which is probably the most key in our culture, is that we need you to have a positive attitude if you're going to work in our company. And so it's just not idly said. We actually do, you know, make sure that the interactions that folks are having with folks every day are positive. And, you know, we've just been unrelenting on those four. So, you know, I think it starts with, you know, a solid base, you know, to operate from that gives you a chance at executing on what the strategy is, which, again, is the best job that you've ever had.
Now, when you say best job you ever had, a lot of people will think, well, they must pay the top dollar. Is that the case? Are people motivated only by money, or there's other things that kind of create that best job you ever had environment?
Well, no, certainly there are a lot more things than just money. And in our case, you know, we operate in a space, the call center industry, that does not have the most stellar reputation around culture.
Right.
And in fact, it has the opposite of what we've tried to create, which, you know, I think made it maybe a little easier for us to, you know, to be effective, where folks are used to not being spoken to, not being addressed by name, not necessarily being treated with any high level of respect and dignity, not being valued for what it is that they bring. And we've introduced that into our business, and everybody feels that way. And, you know, things from promotion from within and being really convicted on that, and where we can actually show, you know, any number of examples of people that started at entry-level positions that are now senior-level folks in our company. Things like providing equity positions or stock options for folks at the very entry-level positions that we have in our company. Real tangible things that show that our company really is, you know, sincere about, you know, trying to have this be, you know, a good situation for them. And I just want to say, you know, what this really leads to is great customer satisfaction.
Right.
So it's not that we're just, you know.
You're not doing this altruistically.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, we'd like to think of ourselves as good and decent people, and that's at the center of it as well. But at the end of the day, it makes good business sense for us to do this.
Right.
Yeah. So we have low turnover rates, you know, industry best turnover rates, which, you know, it's quite common in the call center space to have 70, 80, 90, 100% turnover, and we, you know, operate, you know, consistently in the 30% annualized, you know, so clearly half of what the space calls for, you know, just because we've done the things right and focused very simply on our people.
So during these economic times in the last 2 years, what really stands out to me with Ryle is most people are cutting jobs, but you all have been actually adding jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation on the one hand where, you know, the conditions of the market have people unemployed. But where we're concerned, you know, being a people business, it's put us in a position where we have, you know, more talent that's available than there ever has been. And, you know, because we're, you know, in a position to where we're growing with our customers and needing these employees, I mean, it's worked out really well, you know, where we've been able to provide a number of jobs. I mean, we've created more than 2,000 jobs in the last, you know, 15 months as a company. I mean, it's been really good. It's actually something that's a pride point for me and I think all the people that work in our company, that we've been able to help some folks at a time when there's just not a lot of opportunity in the marketplace. So
that's outstanding. Now, going back, you know, 9 years ago, you're in your basement, you're probably figuring out your 5-year plan for Ryla. Hmm. When you did that plan, does Ryla look today what you envision it to look like, or have you surpassed that? Or,
well, Mike, I never really had any hard and fast goals as to how big we would be, mm-hmm. But I knew that if we did things the right way, and that we had a great model, and that it could, you know, facilitate some pretty significant growth, and we realized that. And I'd say it looks a lot differently than I might have thought. But now that we're there, I see what the potential is, and I don't think we're anywhere close to what we can be.
Outstanding.
So culture was a critical thing even in the basement. You were going to focus on that?
Yes, sir. Actually, it was the catalyst for starting the company. I worked.
You had a bad experience in corporate America.
Well, actually, I had a good experience. It really was quite the opposite. Uh-huh. I had an opportunity while Mike and I professionally worked together. Pretty big Fortune 500, Dun & Bradstreet. We worked there together. And while I was there, I did what I do now, essentially was really involved in the call center aspect of that company.
Right.
Had an opportunity to really work in one center that provided some challenges around people. And because we were able to do some creative things and really change that culture around, I kind of thought if I ever had an opportunity to do that again for right. myself as an entrepreneur, that I would take advantage of it. So it was the positive experience that I had managing that one center within that company that really was the catalyst for me to try to start a company and do it all over again.
So when you made that shift from the corporate job to the entrepreneur job, like I asked Pete, what was that transition like? You know, when you no longer have the help desk and you no longer have the people around you, the infrastructure, and you're doing all the roles on this, was that hard, like, to get the new client? And, you know, on one hand, you're doing the work of the business, and the other hand, you're doing the business development part of the business, and also you're doing the accounting of the business and doing all aspects of it.
Yeah, it's a very good question again. And, you know, I found the biggest challenge were the people that we hired into the environment that were used to those luxuries.
Perks, yeah.
You know, and I would have to educate them on the fact that nothing's been figured out in our company yet, that if there's something that needed to be done, it was us that was going to have to do it.
Sure.
And so it wasn't necessarily my transitioning into that. I mean, I just knew it was necessary for us to do what we had to do. It was really trying to coach and develop and keep people that were accustomed to something else used to what this environment was. And actually continues to be a challenge to this
even
day.
Even today?
Yes, sir.
So do you find your new hires, is it easier to get them from a corporate background or kind of an entrepreneurial background?
Well, most do come from, a corporate environment. And, because we operate so much focused around people and maybe a little loose for what you might see in a typical corporate setting, we do have to tell people, you know, this is how this company operates.
Right.
And, you know, and actually a lot of that's done up front, mm-hmm. even in the introductory phase of when we're trying to attract a person to come and work for our company. We're pretty clear about the fact that this is different and that you need to understand these differences if you're to be successful here.
Now, prior to making the move to your own business, did you build like a board of advisors or did you have mentors that helped you kind of make the leap?
Yeah, I felt that it was very important to do things right from the very beginning. So we've always had our books audited, even at a time when we couldn't afford an audit.
Right.
We've always done it because I knew that was going to lend to credibility for our business and it would give us a shot at competing with these large companies that we were hoping to have as clients. So, yes, we had a board of advisors. We did raise outside capital too early on in our business. And, you know, because of that, we had a board of directors, and they were very influential and helpful in me, you know, making some key decisions early on that, that drove growth in our business.
And were you always looking at the business as an employee-owned business?
Always. Always. I've always known we were people business and that people were going to be the key,
mm-hmm.
and we've just never swayed from that at all.
That's awesome. Now, who's your prospect for business? Who's out there that's listening might be a person that should call you?
Anybody, any customer that has a need for interaction with their clients, primarily around customer service, would be an ideal client for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds very general, but it is, you know, it's pretty specific. You know, we're in the business of having excellent interactions every time. That's our tag, our brand promise with our clients. Well, our clients' clients, and so there's any client out there that has that need, we're the perfect fit, perfect partner for them.
And right now, you've got locations both in Atlanta and Alabama.
Yeah, we have a campus here north of Atlanta in Kennesaw that has about 2,000 or so folks up there, and we have facilities in Mobile, Alabama, and then we just closed on some business last week that expands our operations to Norfolk, Virginia, and Tampa, Florida.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So you do inbound and outbound calling?
We do. Mm-hmm. We have a heavy focus on the inbound world right now because it's, you know, again, it's primarily customer service. But we grew up in the business in the outbound world. You know, worked for Dun & Bradstreet, as I said, they were our first client.
Right.
And primarily the work that we did for them was in the outbound arena.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's great. So now if anybody was interested in contacting you, their website?
The website is www.ryla, that's ryla.com.
And then they can get all the information that they need there, everything, and more.
Yeah, very, very robust website that would answer any questions you might have, up to and including a virtual tour that can give you, you know, some real visual as to how we're set up and how we operate as a business.
Great. Mike, great job.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you coming on
today. Yeah, thank you for having me. So excited to talk about our company.
Yeah, and Mike, you did great putting this group together. Well, you want to talk a little bit about what you do?
I just try to help people. That's really it in a nutshell. Now, I've got my own business. I actually market right now for a company called Prepay Legal, mm-hmm. where basically my goal is to go out and give people full access to a network of top-rated law firms across the U.S., that help with any legal issues, and also provide identity theft protection and restoration services. So that's what I do.
You have a website? Or
I actually do. My website is prepaidlegal.com/hub/M11. Bit of a mouthful, but mm-hmm. that's a good way of getting in contact with me.
And then I'm sure you're on LinkedIn as well?
I most certainly mm-hmm. am.
All right. Well, great show. I appreciate you filling in for Amy. Did a great job. And we will see you next time on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.